You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Good morning, New City. In the past few weeks, we as a church have been going through the book of Jeremiah. It is a difficult text, but a very timely one. And so I want to thank Pastor Kevin and Pastor TC and Pastor Delante for guiding us through the books of the Bible that we may not always enjoy reading. I want to forewarn you this morning, though, that the topic of our message today is the inner life of Jeremiah. So if you came here this morning expecting a feel-good message to encourage you for the week, I can't guarantee that will happen. So I apologize for that. But I think that's exactly why we need to read books of like Jeremiah in community, together. Because in community, we have times of celebration, but also in community, we journey through times of grief. And Jeremiah teaches us how to do that. In the book of Jeremiah, we get this unique opportunity to journey with a prophet through his lifetime. We meet him when he was young and he first received his call, and we follow his life as he lives through the lives of four rulers of Judah. We don't get that opportunity with the other prophets. In the Old Testament, we journey through the lifetimes of Moses and David, but isn't it strange that you can automatically think of the stories of Moses when he parted the Red Sea? You know the story of David and Goliath, but why don't we really know the story of Jeremiah? We tell and retell in our Sunday schools the stories of Abraham and Moses and Solomon. We don't often retell Jeremiah's story. Why is that? You see, we love stories of heroes. We like when David becomes a king. We love when Moses outmaneuvers the Egyptians. We love stories of heroes and victories. But as Pastor Kevin preached a couple weeks ago, Jeremiah was faithful, but he was not successful. Jeremiah was never popular. He was not a leader because the people never listened to the guy. Even among his family and friends, he was the guy that no one wanted to be around. Jeremiah, can't you just say nice things like the other prophets at the temple? Jeremiah, why do you have to be so negative all the time? Jeremiah, why are you always talking about the justice issues? People don't like to hear that stuff. We like stories of heroes because they give us hope for our own lives, our own calling. But here's the thing. Most of us in this room will never be called to be a king like King David. Most of us in this room, we will never be called to lead a whole people group through a desert like Moses. But all of us in this room are called to be faithful. And we don't know for how long we will need to be faithful. We don't know through what circumstances, but we are called to be faithful to the end. And so I think we have a lot to learn from Jeremiah. What would happen if God called you to be faithful, but he did not promise successful? What would happen if God called you, but it would not make you popular? You would not be recognized? How would you live that life? And so there are two questions that we can ask of Jeremiah as we study his life. Number one, what gave Jeremiah the strength and courage to live out his convictions? And number two, how do you sustain a life of faithfulness? Especially in times when the injustices and the oppression seem too big. In times when all things seem hopeless, how do you live faithfully? Especially for Jeremiah, as he lived through ridicule and persecution, how did he sustain his life of faithfulness? And when I say faithfulness, I mean the most basics of questions. How do you keep believing that God is there and that God is good? Reading the book of Jeremiah is very much like reading a personal journal. In it are stories of things that happened to Jeremiah, stories of him telling the message of God. But in between those stories are Jeremiah's poems and prayers. Jeremiah was a poet. I think that's why God speaks to him most often in metaphors, because that's how Jeremiah best understands. And so in the book of Jeremiah, we get to intimately peer into his personal life. That includes his struggles and his questions and his doubts. So that leads us to our text for today. There are 7 prayers in the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to look at 2 of these prayers to ask, how did he get the courage and how did he live faithfully? In chapter 20, we meet Jeremiah in one of the worst moments of his life. In the previous chapter, God sends him out to give a message at the temple, but the priest is upset at the disturbance Jeremiah is causing, and so he puts Jeremiah in stocks at the gate of the temple. And for a full day, Jeremiah is put on display. He is humiliated as people go in and out of the temple. And this prayer is right after this degrading experience for Jeremiah. This prayer comes out of one of the most vulnerable moments of his life. So Jeremiah chapter 20, we'll start with verse 7. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. This is actually the second time, the second prayer where Jeremiah yells at God, God, you deceived me. God, you forced me into being a prophet. Because back in chapter 1, Jeremiah has this radical, supernatural encounter with God, and he is called to be a prophet. What an honor to be a prophet. But we see here that Jeremiah assumed that to believe in God meant success. To follow God means that things will happen easily, that he will live as an honorable prophet. And in this moment, he realized it doesn't work like that. Jeremiah is disappointed in his religion, because it is a religious leader who turns on Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is especially disappointed in God. Why did God allow this to happen? Why didn't you stop this from happening, God? I think those are disappointments that we are all familiar with. When God called Jeremiah, he did not promise success, but he did promise 2 things. First, I am with you. And second, I will rescue you. And he repeats that promise again in chapter 15. I am with you to rescue you and to save you. But Jeremiah did not perceive what has happened as God rescuing him. It seemed like God broke his promise by not preventing pain. But Jeremiah misunderstood here, because the promise to rescue implies that you will be in situations that need rescuing. God did not promise him increasing success. God promised his presence. And the question for Jeremiah is that enough for you? Jeremiah, is my presence enough for you to be faithful? And so in this moment, Jeremiah is thinking again, what does it really mean to follow God? Do I really want to do this? And I think we need to sit for a moment just in this uncomfortable place. Because in Jeremiah's time, there were prophets at the temple saying good things, things people wanted to hear. They were talking about prosperity and riches, but God called them false prophets. And I think we need to be able to have a faith that is able to sit in the sufferings and the pains of this world, because God promised his presence in those circumstances. Will that be enough for you? We may not like to admit this, but many of us can relate to Jeremiah in this prayer. We have felt deep disappointment, even disappointment in God, but we would never say that out loud. Instead, we avoid God and we let our hearts pull away from God. But I think Jeremiah teaches us an important practice here, that he does not run away. And instead, he is very honest with God. I am disappointed. I don't understand all of this. And so I think it's important that prayers like this are in the Bible, because it gives us an example that even when you feel disappointed, even when you don't understand, pray anyway. Maybe when you follow Jesus Christ, you assumed that you would never suffer. Maybe it's just unconsciously you assumed all would be good now. But when you had that moment, when you finally realized, oh, we are not immune to suffering, but God is present in our suffering, is that enough for your faithfulness? We learn something else important in this passage, that if God gives you words to speak, you got to speak. There is no holding it in. Jeremiah had the privilege of knowing the heart of God. He had access to the heart of God. He held the words of God intimately and strongly. It felt like fire in his bone. And in this moment, Jeremiah felt that was a burden. But he actually gives us a very beautiful image of knowing the words of God. And I pray that all of us here would hold the words of God in this way, like fire in our bones. Let's look at another prayer of Jeremiah. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praise. They keep saying to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it now be fulfilled. I have not run away from being your shepherd. You know I have not desired the day of despair. What passes my lips is open before you. Do not be a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let my persecutors be put to shame, but keep me from shame. Let them be terrified, but keep me from terror. Bring on them the day of disaster. Destroy them with double destruction. In almost all of Jeremiah's prayers, he is very angry. Rightly so. But I have a hard time reading these words. I'm surprised by how angry Jeremiah is. I'm surprised that he's praying for vengeance on his enemies. Because doesn't Jesus later on say, love your enemies? So why is this in the Bible? And can we even talk to God in this way? We read books like Jeremiah and we see Jeremiah's anger. We see God's anger. Because Jeremiah is very aware in both of these passages that he is preaching destruction, the day of despair. He doesn't want that to happen, but those are the words of the Lord. And so I think it's very important for us to understand why these words are here, because folks have lost their faith over reading the Old Testament and seeing all the violence and destruction. We need to know why they're there. I have to believe that Jeremiah, who knows the heart of God, knows God differently than we do. Jeremiah grieved for his people, but he did not run away. Jeremiah was not afraid of God's wrath because he understood God's heart. So if you read the Old Testament and all you see is a mean God, then maybe we're misinterpreting something. Because the main character of the book of Jeremiah is not Jeremiah. The main character is not the people of Judah, but the main character of the book of Jeremiah is God. All of the books of the prophets are about the heart of God and his concern for the hearts of his people. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24, he says, but they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. They went backward and not forward. This phrase, the stubbornness of their hearts, Jeremiah repeats 8 more times in his message to the people. We see that at the center of God's message for his people is a heart condition. That God is warning his people of their impending self-destruction. That the way they were living, the things they were doing, their fake worship, that was more destructive and more harmful than the Babylonians coming in. The warning from God was not about Babylon. Babylon received the same warnings. The warning from God was about the way his people were living their lives. And they did not see the seriousness of what was eating them up from the inside. The truth is, God was always ready to be merciful. The God that we read about in the Old Testament is actually very compassionate, very patient, very merciful. How many prophets did God send to give the same message over and over and over again? How many times did Jeremiah have to give the same message again and again? We see in chapter 17 that the people started to sarcastically mock Jeremiah because God waited so long. Jeremiah, where is this message that you said would happen? Where is your God? Let it happen. Because God waited and waited and waited for the hearts of his people. But a loving God will not let his children destroy themselves. Babylon would save their hearts. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 31, it says this. As for you, son of man, your people are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other, come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but do not put them into practice. That could describe any church today. The condition of their hearts were slowly straying away from the heart of God. They went to the temple every week, but their hearts were not there. And it's hard to notice when that is happening inside of you. But greed will creep into the human heart. Pride will enter in. And we have reasons, we have justifications, but it is like a virus, and it will grow and it will spread until it's no longer about individuals living a self-centered life, but it becomes a whole society that thrives on a system of unjust gain. And so we find in these passages a root to injustice, and we realize it's in all of us. It's in those small moments of indifference. It's in those moments and choices where we fear for our own survival, and so we begin to see all those around us as our competition and not our fellow survivor. It's in those small moments where our heart slowly hardens, our pride grows, our self-sufficiency grows, and we become farther and farther away from God, and our worship is fake. And throughout all of the prophets, God continually says, come back. Come back to the heart of the Lord. You have gone too far. Come back. But in the end, we see that he takes extreme measures to save the corroding hearts of his people. He does this by taking away their power and their comfort. Jeremiah grieves for his people, but he knows the heart of God. He knows God's intention. That at the very center of God's message in Jeremiah is what God wants for our hearts. You can see in Jeremiah chapter 24, Jeremiah 24, 7, this is what God wants to do. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. It also says in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God will do whatever it takes for the hearts of his people. We also see in this prayer the difficulty between Jeremiah as a prophet fulfilling his call. That the call of a prophet is to listen to the words of God and to speak the words of God, even if it's hard. I think we have a misconception. We think that it's the job of the prophets to preach justice. Well, of course, at the heart of God is justice. It is a deep concern of the Lord for those who are oppressed and unseen and the voiceless. But the call to live justly is a call for all of God's people. So don't get this wrong. God sends his prophets because his people do not listen. The prophets listen and speak, but it is the call of all God's people to live rightly and to live justly. Let's look at the end of Jeremiah's prayer in chapter 20. Jeremiah 20, verse 14. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, a child is born to you, a son. May that man be like the towns the Lord overthrew without pity. May he hear wailing in the morning, a battle cry at noon, for he did not kill me in the womb. With my mother as my grave, her womb enlarged forever. Why did I ever come out of the womb? To see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame. It's really hard to read that prayer. It's hard to hear Jeremiah not valuing his life, wishing that he were dead. Jeremiah in this prayer goes back to his first call in chapter 1 when he was young and optimistic. And in that time, God said, I formed you in the womb. I knew you before you were born. That sounded really nice back then. But now the justice seems endless, and the unfairness is really painful. And Jeremiah has worked really hard to revive the hearts of his people, but nothing has come out of it. And Jeremiah is tired. And so he uses the same image of the womb to curse his calling to this difficult task. And this prayer is especially hard to read because he ends it there. See, we like reading the Psalms. When David complains, he ends it always with praise. And so we need for Jeremiah to end his prayer with some praise, but he doesn't do that for us. Instead, we're left with this tension of no answer. And in the next chapter, Jeremiah just continues his life as a prophet. Ironically, Jeremiah lives a long life. The prophet who curses his life ends up living a long life, and it never got better. The Babylonians came and they took the people, but even after that, the people still would not listen to Jeremiah. They continued to accuse him and they imprisoned him. But something did happen in this moment, because this is the last time that Jeremiah prays a prayer of complaint. This is the last time that he yells angry words at God. The book is 52 chapters long, but this was the last time. And so I think something happened in Jeremiah. He came to terms with something. And we can only speculate what that is, but we do see the result, that Jeremiah lived out his life with great courage as he spoke the convictions that God gave him. And Jeremiah lived a life of long faithfulness. Maybe he continued to live in that tension of grieving for his people and enduring his own pain, but he was still faithful to his God. And I think it's very important that prayers are like this are in the Bible that leave us in this unanswered tension. Because what we do learn about God through the life of Jeremiah is this, that God is not silent in the midst of suffering. In the midst of suffering, God calls his people to speak up like Jeremiah did. God is not silent in the midst of suffering. In suffering, God calls his people to respond. That is God's response. And in Jeremiah's time, only a handful of people responded to that call, but it didn't have to be that way. Maybe you're thinking, wouldn't it be a whole lot easier if God just fixed everything? Well, yes, that would be easier. But God's way is not the easy way. God's way is the most thorough and complete way. You see, God has high expectations. It is not sufficient for God to be merciful and compassionate and loving. God wants all of his children to be formed in compassion. God wants his children to be the people that bring healing, to exemplify a society that lives rightly, that loves their neighbors, that heals the sick, that cares for the poor. God's response to suffering is to form his people and to send them to the world. Is that formation happening in you? If you're here and you're a seasoned believer, then you know God doesn't take the easy way, but God takes the most thorough and complete way. God takes the most transformative way, the redemption and grace and love. You see, when we read the book of Jeremiah, we actually are not really like Jeremiah. We can't really relate to all this ridicule that he's going through. When the church reads the book of Jeremiah, we actually are a lot more like the people Jeremiah is speaking to. The people that he constantly is trying to tell them, listen, listen to the heart of the Lord, because our hearts are just as fickle. We would rather hear the feel-good messages. We would rather praise God with our mouths, but then live our own lives. We keep praying for our own successes. We keep praying to be more comfortable, but maybe we need to pray the harder prayer. Maybe we need to pray, God, give us courage. God, help us to keep faithful. We started this morning with two questions. How do you live with that courage to live out your convictions? And how do you live a life of faithfulness? And I think the very first step is to check the condition of your heart. Have you distanced yourself from the Lord? Have you made decisions that have slowly hardened your heart? What has caused the condition of your heart? I'd like to ask the worship team to come up here. I'd like to ask the pastoral leaders to head to the back. And if you have served on the healing at the healing room, I ask also that you go to the back right now and be available to pray for people. And if you are in this room, then I'd like you to invite you this morning to receive prayer. Maybe your heart has been lethargic lately, and the best way to return to the heart of the Lord is to humbly ask for someone to just pray for you. Maybe you've held unanswered questions, or maybe you've been holding a pain, and you need to start by asking for prayer. Maybe you've been asking to be rescued. Maybe you've been asking and praying for healing. Maybe you've been praying for change and direction. But what you're missing is allowing the community to pray for you. It is not a sign of weakness. It is acknowledging God's power. And so if you need prayer this morning, I ask you to take a risk, be brave, and as we sing this last song, just head back there and let someone pray for you. So I ask that you rise as we sing this last song, and we will also take offering in this time. Father, I thank you for the way that your presence is constantly with us. Thank you for the way that you pursue us and you pursue us again. Lord, I ask that you would fill every person in this room with your courage, that we may live out a life of faithfulness. In your Son's name we pray, amen.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.